And welcome back to Dad's on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today in the studio is Raymond Hawkins. Raymond is the owner of a business called Soundtracks Travel, and they run choir tours around Australia, around the world. But Raymond, welcome to Dad's on the Air.
Hello, Bill.
So, Raymond, could you perhaps tell us a little bit about the philosophy of Soundtracks Travel?
I think it's part of a continuum, and that continuum lies in the fact that I've spent most of my life involved in music, whether that be initially on leaving school working with those great rock and roll bands, the Angels and Chisel and Midnight Oil, and traveling the world with those kind of people. And then when I couldn't continue anymore with that, you can only work 72 hours it's straight for X amount of time before you can't go on. So after 10, 12 years of that kind of lifestyle, I sort of semi-retired and worked at the Sydney Opera House. And then there I was it was like a musical balm from AC/DC or Midnight Oil or the Angels. I had the balm of the Sydney Symphony Orchestra or Opera Australia, and that music was just another entirely different world. And then during that time, I developed my love of walking and ended up walking from Melbourne to Sydney along the Great Dividing Range, during which I had the inspiration to start a walking company. I did that. And I ran walks all over Australia for writers and artists and photographers. And I had judges sitting down in the dirt with Aboriginal leaders. But the trip which I loved most, the one that just was always so effective, were my choirs. And they were called, the one in the desert at least, was called the Desert Choir, with a famous gospel a cappella choir master called Tony Backhouse. And we'd sing in gorges, and we'd sing on top of mountains, and we'd sing in Stanley Chasm, we'd sing in Aboriginal communities like Hermannsburg. Soundtracks is the development of that theme, where really the only kind of trip I've realised that I want to run, sound-based, music-based, choral-based tours.
So you're bringing together the basic love that a lot of people have for both travel and music. That's what you see your role as doing.
It is. When human beings are put in places of extraordinary power, I remember people looking at Ormiston Gorge for the first time, where 1.8 billion-year-old rock collided with 800 million-year-old rock. And what's your frame of reference to even process that awesome story? You can't. And people tend to say stupid things like, doesn't it make you feel small? But when you've got a process that is it's a deep process that you use to navigate your own personal life, and that process can then be projected onto that experience, it gives you a way to connect. So that into that environment, overlooking those sort of awesome landscapes, if you can sing, or if you're on one of my writer's trips, if you could write, it gives you a way simply to connect.
And with your background working with the Angels, Midnight Oil, and some of our iconic bands in Australia, what did the skills from that experience bring to this new venture, do you think?
It was absolutely perfect for a start. Once you've tour managed Dragon, Rose Tattoo, the Choir Boys and the Angels across Australia on a 3-week tour, you can handle 50 choristers pretty easily. But also just simple tour management, of getting people from point A to point B, getting them moving, getting them behaving and operating like a professional organisation, a performing group. One of the great things we offer people is to be part of a touring show. So all of that experience with touring and tour managing and production managing big productions comes in handy.
And what is your involvement with the Aboriginal and Islander population in Australia?
My experience with Aboriginal Australia was largely centred around Central Australia. I thought it was obscene to run trips into the desert without Aboriginal guides, without Aboriginal people involved. And to that end, I developed all my programs had they camped on Aboriginal country. They brought Aboriginal people in to spend time with all my walkers. If it was a choir, we sang with them. I got to, on one of my art trips, I remember we got a group of Walpiri people. And Walpiri, they're almost third-class citizens in Alice Springs because it's not their country, but they're drawn in by diabetes and they're drawn in by welfare. And they were just wonderful people, and they dotted the landscape painting for the entire time. So one of those artists was Johnny Jappeljarry Possum, and he was Clifford Jappeljarry Possum's brother. And I painted him up when he demonstrated a possum dreaming one night. And for me to paint him up, I had to become a skin relation. So I'd like to be referred to from now on for the interview as Raymond Jappeljarry Possum.
You run the Singing to the Heart tour. I think that goes to Central Australia and is
it does.
And that so you have some involvement with Aboriginal people in that.
Well, we have it's a deep involvement. It leaves from Adelaide. It goes to we get our repertoire together in Corn. Then we go to Maori where we'll sing with Aboriginal people. So we'll sing with them at Lake Eyre, the local mob. Kuba Pedi will sing in the Serbian church, the underground Serbian church. But then we go to Indulkana, and Indulkana is a Pitjantjatjara community. We're going with our Aboriginal guide, Alison Hunt. And interestingly, the choir master there, the pastor, in a community I think of about 300-400 people, is a singing Maori pastor, which will be fabulous. And I said to him, how many people do you think will come? He said, everybody. He envisages them coming from outlying. So we sing there, we do a workshop. Then we go to Uluru and we sing with the, hopefully sing with the Pitjantjatjara ladies. And then we do a major interaction in Hermannsburg where we'll sing with the Hermannsburg choir, who are, I've worked and I know them very well, because that was the country that I used to run my walks in.
Oh, all amazing experiences. Now, Raymond, you've picked a song for us today. I wonder if you could tell us which one you've picked and why you picked it.
The first one is by the Angels, and it's an interesting song. It's called Outcast, and what's probably not known, the Angels were a kind of intellectually menacing band, certainly from their guitar treatment, but also lyrically. And this song, which is a ballad, has the refrain of "Who'd make love to an outcast?" But it draws, as the band did, on German Expressionism, so that in our performances, in our stage presentation, there was all this kind of German expressionist underlying and black and white and shapes thrown on. So it was an extraordinarily interesting treatment in that era when everyone used to flash coloured lights. We used to use darkness and shadow and shapes. So I love the song.
You like some of this? Mm-hmm.
That was The Angels singing
Outcast.
Outcast. And we're speaking today with Raymond Hawkins, who is the owner of Soundtracks Travel, and we're hearing about some of the inspiring tours that he's been able to organise in Australia. Raymond, we hear a lot about the benefits of singing for the overall health of a person. Do you go along with that?
I think it's just self-evident. I remember the first trip I did with Tony Backhouse. It was called the Outback Choir. And our first singing engagement, we sang in at Mungo National Park as the sun went down. And these people are good singers, and they'd sung with Tony all over the world, and they come together, and even on day one they could put some songs together. But I remember the visceral feeling of ecstasy. I'd never experienced it. And that's after rock and roll. And all that experience, I'd never actually experienced being part of something so beautifully moving as the experience of being in that choir, in that place at that beautiful time.
And are the people in your choirs, are they professional experienced singers, or do you open it up to everybody?
They're open to everyone. So the only requirement is to have a love of singing. So, but having said that, these people are good singers. And if they're not, they don't sing so loud. Mm. So, one of my classic patrons she said to me, "I never wanted to be the deputy magistrate of Victoria. I wanted to be a backup singer." And she's travelled the world. She's done 10 of my trips. And that's pretty much consistent. These are people who've spent their lives, you know, they've been concerned with grandchildren and children and mortgages, and now they're at a stage of their life they want a boogie. These are baby boomers who are cool. They don't want to look at events. They want to be the event. They're all egomaniacs, essentially.
Oh, yes. I like the story of the doo-wop girl from the Victorian magistrates.
That's right.
And do you get into it yourself? Are you a singer, or are you in the background running around organising?
I'm very busy, but I'll always drop in and sing. It draws you like a moth to flame.
Now, I understand you're also planning a trip to go over to the battlefields of World War One. Could you
Yes.
tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I'll tell you where it emerged from. I have a deep feeling, having run trips into Aboriginal communities and having run trips with writers, where these trips there's been a sort of a narrative which is beyond just looking at things. So that's my experience of what profound travel can be. There was a moment on one of my choirs where we were in Port Arthur, and people were unsettled, as you should be, by Port Arthur, not just by the barbarity of the original purpose for which Port Arthur was built, but by the equally barbarous massacre. We, in that state of unsettled state, we sang, and we sang in the memorial garden to the victims of that shooting. And it was a fascinating experience to see the way that in some way that unsettled state became reconciled. It didn't get cured. But I think the depth of the singing, since it expresses so much the breadth of human experience, there was hope, there was reconciliation, there was all kinds of emotional states get touched in deep music. So it almost, if anything, contextualized that experience. Taking that to the battlefields with a notion called the Choir of Lost Souls, my thinking is that we take that process of singing into that place of deep sadness and grief, and whilst it doesn't cure anything, there is some way to reconcile that emotions within the people themselves. I'm really, really interested in this. I think that travel cannot just be to a state of comfort and happiness, and it can be to other states. And I don't know to what extent that's been explored with music.
Now, the Port Arthur massacre that you're just talking about, I think that was in 1996, and that is really a one-sided thing. I mean, there was just a force of evil that finished up killing, you know, over 20 people, I think. But the battlefields, you're taking an interesting approach of looking at both sides, at both the Allied side and the German side, considering the losses that perhaps the parents and the community suffered in that conflict.
We'd like to, yes. I'd like that process to be, if it's the choir of lost souls, it's not the choir of lost English souls or French souls or German souls. It's the choir of lost souls. There might have been 7 million civilians killed. I mean, that's another story. That's another loss. So, and just this morning, I may have come up with my choir master. So I'm very, very excited. A man who's put the words and the words of Wilfred Owen, the great war poet, to music. So I'll certainly be pursuing that.
And there's a musical link at the Menin Gates, which we've talked about, where there's a ceremony every day at, I think, 6 o'clock, and they play the last post. And they usually have a visiting choir or some visiting performance. So I'm expecting...
It's on the itinerary.
Yes, you'll be making an application to sing there.
Was it 58,000 people's names are written on the...
These are the soldiers, yes, that they can't find the bodies, you know. So if they can't find the bodies, their name goes up. But for anyone that hasn't been there, it is a very sobering experience to see all these graves of young men, and oftentimes it's written, known only unto God. And that's I don't think you'll be looking for inspiration when you travel to the Menin Gates.
No, and just the thought that those 58,000 lads... mostly, marched out of there and never marched back. That, I spoke to a friend who does a lot of my programs, and he said the older he gets, the more emotionalism. He finds himself weeping a lot, and he said he'll try to subjugate that because he needs just to kind of bear witness to their story and not just be preoccupied with his emotional response to it. And I thought that was an interesting take.
Yeah, look, another interesting thing about what you're proposing, I think, is that you are going over to the German side in that conflict.
I'm going to run through an established battlefields tour company, and I raised that. They made the interesting point that the Germans actually haven't got the kind of memorial structure that the Allied troops have. They don't have the vast grave, but it's my intention to sing. I would like us to sing German songs, to sing French songs, not just to sing the hymns, but also the songs that those soldiers would have sung on furlough in a French pub. That will put it into their real life story. You know, I'm fascinated to hear songs like "Keep the Home Fires Burning," conducted by a wonderful choir director. I think it'd be extraordinary. I'm really looking forward to that.
Raymond, can we ask you to pick your second song and tell
Certainly.
Us why you picked it?
This one has just got a bit of punch. It's from our Byron Theatre show on the last Backroaders tour, and it's called Sweet Home.
Wonder will I ever get home, boom, boom, boom.
Sweet home.
Sweet home.
Sweet home.
Sweet home,
sweet.
and that was Sweet Home.
And for more information on Soundtracks Travel, go to our website, and we've got all the information there for you to contact Raymond and his organisation. As Raymond said, you don't have to be a fantastic singer, but if you enjoy singing, if you enjoy travelling, and you've those two great urges, this is the place for you.
No, it just remains for me now to give a very special thank you to our guest today, Raymond Hawkins. Raymond, thank you very much
for being
on the program. And we'd love to hear from any of our listeners. You can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email, and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air.